Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tardik, and we are at the pre-market trading segment with the Remy Bader episode. I do have the one and only, the curious Canadian with me. So, David, last week you did say for my birthday you were going to send some Trading Secrets merch to those who gave us five-star reviews, and we have our winner. It is KTD25 exclamation point. We also have a second winner because I know you got a lot of merch over there. It is ZoneGamer123. If you guys heard this, please email me tradingsecrets@jasontardik.com and we will send you some Trading Secrets merch. And for anyone that's listening right now, make sure to give us a five-star review. Listen to the recap after the episode, and we have some more stuff to give away next week. This has been a great week, a fun week. It was my brother's birthday, my dad's birthday, went to Heidi Klum's Halloween party, which was just unbelievable. And was actually on News Nation today talking about the apocalypse of AI. And make sure you stay tuned to the recap because we're going to see if David used his AI and what he thought about it. But what are they saying about the apocalypse of AI? What they're saying essentially is that the speed at which AI is taking out professional white-collar jobs is unmatched right now. We saw UPS lay off 14,000 workers. Amazon, another 14,000, and big companies like PwC, Walmart, and JP Morgan Chase are all eliminating jobs due to the efficiency in what the costs are. Now, one thing to think about before I turn it over to David for a quick little tease, here's what I want you to know. If you go to a job and you have a task and people give you things to do and you execute that and you finish them and then you wake up in the morning and you have to rinse and repeat, if that is your type of line of work in any way, shape, or form, be aware because your job likely will be taken out by AI. Now, what jobs won't be taken out by AI? Think about critical thinking. Think about things a human can bring, like emotional intelligence and energy and education. Jobs like that will be flourishing, right? Like litigators, psychologists, trades like HVAC and plumbing, educators and teachers and coaches like David. So that's what I talked about in News Nation. It was a great week, but you know what? Enough of me. We're getting into Remy Bader. Before I do so, David, you got anything to tease it?
Well, first off, I'm glad you had a great week, Jason. I got my heart and my guts ripped out because of the Toronto Blue Jays. Anyone who watched, everyone's saying best World Series in the history of baseball. I as a fan, as an entertainment, sure, it was so depressing, so heartbreaking. I'm coming to you guys Sunday night. We're less than 24 hours from the loss. It hurt, and maybe we'll get into that more in the recap because it hurt. But anyways, we have a Remy Bader episode, which was, it was phenomenal. I mean, you want to talk about relatable, you want to talk about authentic. She really gave us all the details. She was full of herself. And what I'll say, and we'll talk about this in the recap, Jason, one, it was almost like we were listening to her biography, autobiography, because you went more timeline by timeline, year by year, detail by detail, which really painted an awesome picture for someone who really wasn't familiar with the background of Remy Bader. I've seen her on the socials. It really provided me with her perspective of who she is, why she is, and how successful she's been along the way. So I thought it was a great episode.
I love it, David. It's a great teaser, and you can tell I am highly energetic after the Buffalo Bills just beat Kansas City Chiefs at home. David, I feel for you. I'm there for you. I don't know if it means anything, but Buffalo Bisons are the minor league team for Toronto Blue Jays, so I was rooting for you. And you know what? Well, you know what? Let's talk about one thing quick, money related. In my opinion, it's ridiculous that there is a league like the MLB that's this established where there's no salary cap. There's no salary cap. That's insane.
You know, do you know that the total salaries of the contracts signed between the pitchers they used in the game seven was over $1 billion.
Like, that is absolutely insane. That's a great Trading Secrets number to bring to the equation. But why there's not a level playing field in a game of that level, of that stature, is just insane. And that's why you always see the big cities, you know, with the biggest budgets, LA, New York Mets, New York Yankees, in the World Series. But you know what? Anything before we could get into Remy Bader, David, because I know you're ready.
No, turn the page on the Blue Jays. Let's kick it off to Remy.
Let's kick it off to Remy Bader.
Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today we are joined by Remy Bader, content creator. Oh, I'm still going, girl. Don't you stop. This is a long resume. You got content creator, entrepreneur, and one of the most authentic and impactful voices in fashion. From her viral, realistic hauls that changed how millions think about clothing, to launching her own size-inclusive fashion line edited by Remy Bader at Sam's Club, she has proven the power of authenticity and advocacy. Her collection was so successful, it expanded from 100 stores to 200. That's huge. And she's now continuing that mission by building her own brand, Fangirl. Remy has redefined what it means to merge influence with impact, showing how social media power can spark lasting change in the fashion industry. Today, we are going to dive into her entrepreneurial journey, the money behind launching collaborations, the ups, downs, lefts, and rights, and how she's turning internet fame into business longevity. Remy, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets.
Wow, whoever wrote that.
Pretty good, right?
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah,
that makes you feel great. A little good?
Yeah.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve it.
Thank you so much.
Let's go back to, I like to go back in like chronological order.
Yeah.
And when I was like, obviously we're friends, but then I'm doing research about you and it's pretty wild how quick this happened, right?
Yeah,
so you start social media in March 2021. I think next year.
I would say it like blew up January 2021. I started like end of 2020, like after people started during COVID.
Okay, so you're just a little late to the COVID.
Late scene, COVID baby.
Late COVID baby. But then within a year, you're listed as a top 50 Forbes creator in 2022. Then 2023, you're Forbes 30 under 30. I mean, that happened in such a quick, fast, short period of time. And since then, there's been ups and downs, lefts and rights, but your success continues. Let's go back to before you were a creator.
Yeah.
My understanding is you're in PR and marketing. What did that look like? Tell me about the career. How much money could you make in a space like that?
Yeah. So out of college, I always wanted to do like PR, I guess, was just like in my head. Always had internships in PR, marketing type of stuff. Wanted to be in fashion, then kind of switched that right before I graduated. Honestly, because I was like a little bit bigger and I was just like in my head felt like fashion wasn't in a space for me. Like when I would go to these internships and all these things, I was like, maybe I'll do music or entertainment. So my first job out of college was at Bravo TV. I was an assistant to the SVP and VP of communications. So I was on the PR team for Bravo and Oxygen, which is a part of NBC.
Sure.
I was between two jobs when I graduated, also a PR agency that does film. And I remember it was like offered like 33,000 salary and that, or like, I think like around 40,000 for at NBC. And then I went with NBC. Not even just because the money was a little bit more, because it was a cool, like, I was like, this is a sick job. Definitely wasn't great at it. I got let go. And that was,
why'd you get fired?
I wasn't a good assistant for sure, which I wasn't accepting of back then. I was like thinking of like every other thing of like, why me? And like, I really, it was a hard job for sure. Cause you were a personal assistant to two people, but also just a coordinator on the team for PR for LA and New York. And it was like a big job that I guess I just, my mom always said, I don't think you could be an assistant. I think you one day will need an assistant. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I could do anything. And like, she was right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it was just like, this wasn't the job for me.
One quick question before we keep going. You went from fashion to TV and then your assistant doesn't work out. Your passion was fashion.
Yeah.
You had mentioned you felt it wasn't the space for you.
Yeah.
Was there anything specifically that happened that you remember that's a memory that you're like, I can't play in this space?
Yeah. I always interned from like high school. I was obsessed with like internships. I did that from like high school through college. And I remember going home during college I worked at like the fashion weeks with different PR agencies.
Yeah.
And I remember being in that room for one of the fashion shows and like looking around the room and being like, oh, no one looks like me. Like no one's curvier here, whether they were a model or just worked there. And that could, and that's not true, but it's like that day it was.
That was your reality.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I just don't think I belong here. And I don't see. And I, after years of doing internships and like kind of somewhat seeing that at a lot of the places. But that's really I actually remember like that moment looking around the room being like, I can't do fashion. Like, it's not the place for me. And I was like, maybe I'll try music or entertainment.
I've heard horror stories from models talk about like things that they've experienced from their agents and like, like tasks they give them and body changes they have to make in short periods of time. I know you said you felt that way. Did anyone communicate anything like that?
No, not in like, not in the PR world and like being an intern.
Okay.
No, it was just literally looking at my surroundings of what I saw.
Interesting. We'll get to where you are today, but when you look at what you've done, Forbes 30, 30 Under 30, aligned with fashion, having your own line in over 200 stores now in a space that you felt you couldn't belong because of your size, like what would Remy today tell that girl then?
Oh, it's insane. I remember literally looking at Forbes 30 Under 30, like crying when I was so unhappy with my job at that, when I was an assistant.
Yeah.
And literally just being like, I would die. Like that was, when I got Forbes 30 Under 30, I think that was actually one of the biggest moments for me ever, because that was so full circle. I wanted to be, I thought maybe one day, like imagine I was in there as like a head of PR for something, not thinking that it would be for what I did, because that was just not a thing even. Mm-hmm. But it was just like very surreal. And I couldn't have even told myself like what it would be, because like TikTok didn't exist. Like none of this, it was just, I really was, when I got let go from Bravo, I worked at Jay-Z's company Tidal and I was doing partnership marketing there, and I got let go for COVID. So I actually loved that job. It was like, there was things I didn't like to it, but I like finally started enjoying my job and then got let go again. So I thought I was just, even though that was for a reason, I was like, oh wow, like I am not going to be successful like I thought I was. Something is literally wrong with me. I mean, getting let go twice is going to hurt your confidence and all of that. So yeah, I definitely didn't think that it was going to go the way it did now.
Here's a trading secret for you. Back in my day when we talked about creatine, it was only about building muscle. In college and high school, it's all we talked about. That's not the case. Creatine isn't just for building muscle. It becomes a daily essential for your strength, focus, recovery, aging, and cognitive performance. And Momentous is making your daily creatine routine even easier with new creatine chews. These bite-sized lemon-lime chews make consistency effortless. I actually am in my New York City condo right now, and in the kitchen, I have these chews ready to rip at all times. There are no artificial sweeteners, no fillers, just science-backed, clinically proven performance in a portable, craveable format. Now, here's the other thing too. Creatine is so essential for women as well, who naturally store about 70 to 80 less percent of creatine than men, which means consistent sublimation can even have a greater impact on energy, recovery, and focus. Right now, Momentous is offering our listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code Trading Secrets. That's 35% off. You'll just go to livemomentous.com and use promo code Trading Secrets for 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code Trading Secrets. It's crazy to think, like, one, you thought you wouldn't be in an industry that you should be in, then you're in it and you're killing it, and then you get fired back to back. So at this point, like early in your career, you're like, shit,
I'm screwed.
Where am I gonna go? Yeah. What's it gonna look like? I do want to go back to that question though, because I know you said you couldn't believe it, but if that Remy was right here in front of you, the one that stood in that room during fashion week and looked around and says, no one looks like me, I can't make it in this space even though I'm passionate about it, what advice would you give her like right now for career perspective? And I ask it because there are people listening to this right now that are that version of what Remy was.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what you'd say to her.
I really do think it's like, you have to like go for what you even like think would not be imaginable. Because for me, like I know some people believe in the manifesting. I think it's two things. I think manifesting, also people are like, I manifested this. That comes with a lot of effort too. Mm-hmm. So like you can make something, you could want something. And if you want it, I think you just need to act on it. And a lot of people want it and believe in it, but then they don't realize they have to act on that and do something too. So like, I think at that time when I thought, especially because of like my body, I couldn't do something. And then look, I gained weight, and that's how I started making videos, being like, I'm struggling because I gained weight. And like, that is kind of the start to when I started like getting a following. So like my success, I hate to say, because I also truly believe that my success also came from who I am as a person and my humor and a lot of other things. But I do think like it kind of shows too. It's like, no, like it doesn't have to do with, you don't need to be like skinny to be successful. That was one piece. But also, I just think for anyone that like is like, I wish I could be doing this right now. Like, okay, so like get up and start doing the work to do it.
Yeah.
Like I do think that it's possible is the point. Like I think like, and the work meaning, it doesn't mean that you need it. Like when I started making videos, I did not have a following. I lost my job. I had $0 in my bank account because I spent it all on food because I was binge eating at the time. Like I was in a really bad place. And I literally just started making videos talking about me being in a bad place. That's what happened.
Unbelievable. One thing, I like, obviously podcast called Trading Secrets. So it's getting trading secrets from your life that people could apply to their careers and life and finances and all the things. One trading secret I think I take away from it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but in that very room that you thought you couldn't make it because you didn't belong to what they were setting the standard to, there's actually a trading secret that if you're in a room, and even if that feeling makes you feel uncomfortable, but there's something different about you than every other person there, that could be a superpower in itself.
Yes.
Right? So it's kind of interesting that the very thing that made you feel like shame that you couldn't do it
that
was
ended
the very
up being
thing that was your differentiator from every other person in that room, which I think is pretty cool.
And I agree with that because I always did feel like even more than my friends and stuff, like I always felt a little bit bigger, like curvier, different. And I actually always, I wasn't upset about that. I actually was like, I'm special in a way. Like, I kind of thought about it as like, okay, well, this will give people more, will focus more on my humor and things like that. So I do think I took something that I was insecure about and put it into, you know, making it into something else. Again, I really do think it was like a lot of that vulnerability and just talking about being honest and open. I do think timing was a factor.
Yeah.
I think I was literally just talking about this to my dad the other day. Like, I, without planning, had great timing. You know, like I think that at that, I think a lot of people want to be content creators today. And I do believe it's way harder. It's a very saturated space. 5 years ago, I literally didn't even use TikTok during COVID. I was like, I would never open this app. Like, and then it was towards the end. My sister wanted to do like one dance with me. I'm like, this is so embarrassing. But I do think it's in the back of my mind. I was like, wow, there's not a lot of people on this platform yet. I'm just going to post something. And I think that like there are so many now. I think it was because of timing and there wasn't content creator. Like there was always influencers, but I think TikTok created a different kind of like content creator that like you were allowed to like be who you are. And I do believe it wasn't as much like because of looks. I think that that's why that was in my head too. Influencers in New York City at the time were like fashion, perfect, edited. That was what like Instagram and influencers was to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I would never be that.
That's interesting.
But then TikTok created, I think, this like new type of person to follow that was just like, you could be yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And it like, wasn't about looks.
Authentic and rawness like instantly started selling.
This episode of Trading Secrets is brought to you by Booking.com. I've got to say, if you're looking to grow your vacation rental business, this is the place to be. Booking.com is one of the most downloaded travel apps in the world, and for good reason. Since 2010, they have helped over 1.8 billion vacation rental guests find places to stay. That's billion with a B. But here's the thing. Most vacation rental hosts don't even realize they can list their properties on Booking.com. And if you're not on the platform, your rental is basically invisible to millions of Booking.com travelers worldwide. After all, they can't book what they can't see, right? But once you start listing on Booking.com, your property gets seen by a massive global audience of unique travelers. That means more visibility, more bookings, and more opportunity to accelerate the growth of your rental business. And it couldn't be easier. You can register your property in as little as 15 minutes, and nearly half of hosts get their first booking within a week. So, if your vacation rental isn't listed on Booking.com, it could be invisible to millions of travelers searching the platform. Don't miss out on consistent bookings and global reach. Head over to Booking.com and start your listing today. Get seen, get booked on Booking.com.
Before we get into your TikTok breakout, you had mentioned, I've heard a lot of things on this podcast when it comes to money, binging, and spending. And I've heard gambling addiction, I've heard alcohol, partying, clothes, all the stuff. You can name it. This is the first time in 250 plus episodes I heard someone said that I had almost $0 from binge eating.
Yeah.
So tell me just a little bit about like, talk me through that. What does that look like?
Yeah.
What is that like? What were you spending on it? And, you know, what were some things that were happening during that
time? I would say it was a mix of Ubers and ordering food because I would like Uber, started just like being like, screw it, and Uber home from work so I could like eat. Yeah. But I was working at Tidal at the time when it started.
Okay.
And I would just like almost like purposely not eat so I could be starving at the end of the day and get excited to like rush home and order food. And I think that was because, yes, I said I enjoyed the job, but it was a very stressful job.
Yeah.
And I think the stress plus just, I don't know, like years of dealing with like eating issues, it just like all came to that point. And I just, I didn't realize what was happening until it really became like this like everyday thing. But yeah, like I would like stop taking the bus and just start being like, screw it. Like I almost think this like just thing went off in my head, like, I don't care. And I would just like Uber home, order from like Seamless, Postmates, whatever it was, and just like literally sit on my floor and like eat. Mm-hmm. But I literally did that to a point where I had $0. Again, I do have to say, like, at that time when I got let go, I got, because I started a TikTok and I had to order clothes to do that. So people understand, like, I did at the time was lucky and fortunate that my dad was helping me a little at that time when I got to $0. Sure. And was like, you need to figure this out, because I only was living off unemployment.
Yeah.
Because that was, I used that money to like order a lot of clothes that I would then return, but try them on for the hauls.
Gotcha.
I didn't like wear them out, but I would like literally try them on for and the videos and then return them. So I was kind of like worked with what I had, but yes, I did spend, like I used my savings on like food and Uber.
Support for today's episode comes from Square, the system powering like half the places I go. If you've ever tapped to pay and thought, whoa, that was fast, it was probably Square. Whether you're selling lattes, cutting hair, detailing cars, or running a design studio, Square will help you run your business without running yourself into the ground. And right now, listeners can get up to $200 off Square hardware when you sign up at square.com/go/tradingsecrets. That's Square, SQUARE.com/go/tradingsecrets. Visit Square to get started, because the right tools make all the difference. Square is a tool that I have used for so many years with small startups, like my small startup business where I would construct resumes on the side, all the way now to my businesses that are growing into the millions. Check it out.
Okay, so at this point though, we're at COVID. You've been fired from two jobs, you're out of the fashion industry, and are you unemployed at the time that your social media starts picking up?
Unemployed. Didn't know what
I was doing. Social media starts picking up fast.
Yeah, still applying to jobs, anything I could, but like no one was hiring, you know?
Yeah, so that was just a mess of a time.
Yeah.
And you think about unemployment during that time, scary, scary high. But what, like when was there, what did it look like that all of a sudden, like you're posting online, you're gaining traction, you're getting likes, you're building a community, to being like, I'm gonna actually make some money out of it. What was that first moment?
When I say that it was January, it's because I think I posted my first video in October or November of 2020, but it didn't turn real until January 2021. I remember it was like a free people haul that went viral. Press started picking it up and I was like, what's going on? And then
what's press?
And then yeah, it was like, someone wrote an article about me. This is insane. And then I reached out, actually, I would say for anyone just showing in any way, because I'll say how I've used LinkedIn, which is insane. But I've messaged like 30 or 40 people from UTA, just seeing that in bios of other TikTok creators.
Interesting.
Until someone answered me and was like, I need an agent. I didn't know what that even meant. I just was like, maybe I could make this a real thing, because like I just started getting like hundreds of thousands of followers. Like it was insane. I'm like, what do you do with this? How could I make money from this? But also still applying to other jobs, because I was like, I never at that point until I spoke to UTA was like, and they told me this could be a career, I was like, no.
Yeah, I heard you say on another podcast, when UTA told you can go full time, you're like, well, I still have my education. I
was like,
use
no
it.
Way. I'm and not going like, to be an influencer.
No, but you can make impact and you can make a lot of money.
I didn't believe them.
When they told you, so now you're starting to think they could, did they give you an idea of like projection, like, hey, we think you can earn around this much, or this is what your rate should be, this is how much you should possibly
I think
make?
I had no idea then when we first talked, because I literally remember like my first video, I'm skipping a part that those months before I signed with UTA, I tried like managing myself and negotiating myself, but like I remember like I did like a video and got $300 and was jumping for joy from this like smaller brand. So like I was trying to get that myself. I also was with a modeling agency at the time doing fit modeling, which is, for anyone that doesn't know, like you literally just like stand in a room and they fit the clothes on you, but you can make like decent money from that. So that was after a little while that I'm forgetting that.
How much can you make doing that?
Few hundred dollars every time you go.
Okay.
Like,
did you have to post for that? Or you?
No,
just
it's like they don't even know. They don't even. They sometimes will call you like model one, model two. Like they don't even say your name. Mm. But like it was, I'm forgetting that because I'm like, how did I get clothes for? My dad was helping me a little when I had $0. Yeah. But that is what he was like. He helped me take model photos against the wall, got my measurements, because my dad works in women's jeans, so he help was like, you can make good money from fit modeling. That's how, before this blew up for me, that I was making kind of extra change on the side in order to like order the clothes. Sorry, I got off track there, but I don't want to skip any parts of my journey. So then what was your question?
Well, we were talking about like, when did it become a real business for you? And you mentioned that you made $300 off your first small brand. Then you're making a couple hundred off these modeling fits.
And then, but it wasn't until, it was probably just like, I don't remember exactly, but probably my first deal with UTA. Yeah. I don't remember I wish I did at the time. Let's say maybe it was like, I think took it from like, they were like, you can make 15K or something for this amount of videos. And I was like, no, there's like no freaking way.
Because just a year ago when you're employed, you were making how much?
Like 40 in the
40
year.
40 in a year.
Oh, and sorry. No, when I went to Tidal, that was my second job. So yeah. Bravo was 40. I'm pretty sure Tidal was like 60.
Okay, so you're around 60 grand. 60 and now grand they're telling you in a couple videos, just from being authentic and telling your journey, you can make 15 grand. When you heard these things and you said, I'm going to go full force into this, I'm going to put everything out there. Did you have a goal for your first year, like 2021? Like, I'm going to make 100
grand. Absolutely
not.
I didn't know what was going on. Like, I think my parents were also saying, what are you doing? And like, my dad's like very into business and all of that and was just like, what are you doing? Until I think it was until it was like a few of those deals that it was like, oh, this is real. This could be a job. And like, I'm actually making more money now after a few videos than I did in like my salary. But no, there wasn't like a goal, because I was just like, what's going on? It happened so fast. And I was like, I've never seen this money before.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So 2021 hits, you're flying, you're making 60 grand, then unemployed. When you think about 2021, you look back at that revenue year, how substantially greater was that year in social media versus what you were doing for 60 grand a year?
You know, I don't know what I made in that first year, but like, that's a good question, actually, what I made in that first year.
I'm going to guess it was over. This is just a guess, but 2021, TikTok was still up and moving. So like, the brand deals weren't as big in TikTok because the brands weren't feeling
they were afraid of TikTok. And I had zero, I had like 10K on Instagram. So yeah, more brands were paying.
And now it's balanced out. I'm going to guess over 200 grand year 2021.
Oh, I think a million.
Wow.
January 2021.
Yeah, because you had the whole year
that it blew up.
Yeah.
And then I had the whole year. And then like, I don't know, and I could be wrong, but I think throughout that year, it started getting bigger and bigger. I didn't have a business manager at the time. I did sign with UTA. So that's 10% I'm giving to them of every deal.
Correct.
And then I signed, and then I did the most important, I don't remember who it was, but someone told me, get a lawyer before anything with these deals so you don't get screwed by any brand. Mm. So I still have the same one to this day, and I give 5% to them. I did not have a manager at the time. I did it kind of backwards. I feel like a lot of people get managers first. Mm-hmm. But that's what I was giving away percentage wise. And then you're giving away a lot of taxes. So I don't know, but I definitely was making a lot of money.
When it comes to your health, information is everything. The more information you have, the better you can be proactive. That's why I choose Function, because it's the only health platform out there that gives me data most people will never get and the insights to start doing something about it. Inside Function, you get access to test over 100 biomarkers, from hormones to toxins to markers of heart health, inflammation, and stress. From an additional fee, you can also access MRI and chest CT scans, all tracked in one secure place over time. It's a near 360 view of all the moving parts. The other thing too is the accessibility and pricing. We talk money on Trading Secrets. For $499 a year, that's it. That's literally $1.37 per day. You will have access to advanced health and insights. Lab visits are fast and convenient at 2,000 plus locations across the US. All results are tracked over time in one secure place so you can see how your health evolves. Now it's time to do something, because some of these markers can make a huge impact in your life, like low vitamin D or your white blood cell count or knowing your cortisol levels. All these things play into what they do. Learn more by joining and use my link at Function. Now you're going to join Function with my link. It's a near 360 degree view of what's happening in your body. And my first 1,000 followers are going to get $100 credit towards your membership. What you'll do for the link is just visit functionhealth.com/tradingsecrets, or just use Trading Secrets 100 code at sign up to your own health.
When that money's coming in that first year and you're going from literally Ubering home feeling kind of depressed and lost, ordering food, eating it on the floor, to now making over seven figures in your
I was media. Still doing that, by the way, though. Like, that didn't get better. So I was still spending on, I was more aware of it, but I was still struggling. That I'll never forget that whole first year that I was like blowing up. I was really struggling mentally in terms of like things were going so fast and were so crazy. I couldn't work on my mental health and things like that. So I didn't like, I just like put that to the side. It was kind of getting worse and worse. So I was still spending money and doing the same thing in terms of that.
So the success in social media and the positivity you're creating in your online persona brand, while it was doing so good, and I've heard podcasts, I listen to you, you say people come on the streets and they grab your hand and say like, Remy, you changed my life. So
yeah.
You're making unbelievable impact. That impact actually didn't fill up the Remy that people don't know.
No, it was making it worse for me. And I do feel like I had... But I think there was like a decent amount of videos that I would say like, I binged today and I'm not okay kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I was pretty honest with that I wasn't happy. Maybe people weren't like, were so just like more tied to the funny hauls that they weren't realizing like I was not well.
Yeah,
but like, yeah. I also was being honest that I wasn't in the best place.
Understood.
I think it was more into year two that I was like, okay, this is now a job. I'm making money. I don't need to say like, maybe it was like, 2.5 years. I don't remember when it was, but there was a point when I was like, I have to take care of myself now. And like now use this money towards like also therapy and doing things for myself because I can't like live this way. And the success doesn't matter unless like I feel good.
Interesting. 2022, you got 2021 at the back. Life has changed dramatically for you in 1 year. You have an agent now. Let's say we're projecting around $1 million plus in revenue.
Yes.
You're hitting PR. People are talking about you. That's the definition of 180. Probably.
Yeah.
And I would say much faster than even some of these big reality stars that come off because it takes them a while to even start earning money. You do it that quick. You go into 2022. When you look into the year, what's your new projection? What are you trying to make financially? What are you trying to achieve professionally?
That was when I got my big Victoria's Secret pink deal.
Okay.
That was like a year. That was my first, I think, like year long deal. That was the biggest deal I ever got. That was like, yes, my name was like more established at that point, did a lot of press at that point, had a big following, and then was starting to grow on Instagram. And then I got this Victoria's Secret deal, which I was in awe.
And that's a year long partnership.
Yeah.
When you look at you've achieved a ton when you look at the partnerships, collaborations, and even businesses you've had. But when you look at like your, let's call it your Grammy of deals, would you say that's like one of your Grammys?
That was my biggest, because then they re-signed me for the next year. And yeah. I was just like, how is this even happening? So I know it sounds like you don't understand how fast this went, that I still was like, what is going on? But like at that point, it was like my parents making me realize like, because they were just like, there is no way that this is happening. Like they've never... They didn't even understand. So I didn't understand what was happening either. I was definitely spending in terms of buying the clothes for the halls and like I said, food and like Ubers.
Of course, yeah.
But I never was like, oh, I'm making this money. I'm going to go out and buy like designer things and this and this. Like I was like right away, my dad was in my ear, like get someone to help you with your money. Like you need to put this into savings. Like I was it was very quick to being like, do not be dumb.
I just think like, and I know it's hard to share some of those things, right? It's hard to share the dollars. But when you peel away the perception of what it means to share dollars and you actually look at the story here, like it's a dream. You think about someone who's down and out, changes a career that they're passionate about because of the way they feel and the way they look, goes to TV, gets fired twice, unemployed, completely broke, decides to be vulnerable, and within a year period of time, creating so much impact that one of the biggest companies in the United States wants to hire you for a campaign that can change your life. The reason I think sharing dollar amounts and things like that is because like there's someone here that if just one person listening to this can tap into something that's hurting them today or create pain their whole life,
for
and
sure.
then they can create more revenue from it to change their family lives, to make more impact.
Yeah.
To me, that's like as beautiful as it gets. Like that is a dream.
And I agree. And that's why I do think a lot for me, because I think the more vulnerable and open you are as a creator, you are going to receive backlash. And I think as time went on, I've received more and more that's just what happens no matter if you are honestly any successful creator, it happens to everyone. And that's why when
the worst noise.
Yeah.
Right. Like we all want positive noise, but you need noise.
And I think that every time I get upset about that, I do remind myself like what has happened for me and like how amazing it is. And I do like, no, I wouldn't want another job. It makes me realize like, no, I'm saying I was happy at Tidal. Like, was I really happy? No, I wanted something more for myself, but I never knew that that was like possible. So I do agree. Like there is a way for everyone. Like, I think there's like a lot of people think that like, I've seen things that like, I've gotten this through my dad. Cause my dad's like in fashion. He does like lower end women's jeans. And he's like, does sales. Literally at that time, especially because me and my dad, and I've talked about publicly, have had a lot of like issues in terms of my weight growing up.
Yeah,
he was very not a part of this journey. He helped me get the fit modeling job. Sure. When I started making the TikToks about struggling and all that, I was like, I didn't, like my family didn't know what was going on. And it was very much like, I do believe I did it on my own. I think that's important for people to know because I made this happen on my own. And I like truly know that. So like, if I did that without connections or anything, anyone else can too.
That's why I like this to start with the derivative of where did you start in your career. None of those career avenues were because of your dad.
No.
No, your dad didn't get you MC. Your dad didn't get you, you know, like
one thing I could say, my dad got me my one internship in 11th grade in high school for some like fashion company. And then, and I've seen people say, because I like talking about the career stuff. I think it's so interesting for other people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, well, that's how your career then happened if it started from there. I'm like, there's so much I did for years. Like, I kept those relationships. I didn't burn bridges. I literally cried every day at my first job at Bravo, but I was like, I'm not going to burn that bridge. And like, we're good friends now, my boss. And like, I do stuff with NBC and like, I kept that relationship. Like, I just like really do think that like, I also think having that background of like the marketing PR and all the internships has helped me now.
Yeah.
You can ask my PR team or anyone. I think sometimes they want to kill me, but I'm like very involved. Show me the press release. I want to make sure we say this, this, this. Like,
sure.
For me, I was like, I don't want to just be an influencer. I want this to be like a business and I want to like know every single thing going on. Some creators and talent and whatever you want to call it, they are not a part of the business aspect of it.
Correct.
Like, I very much am part of everything.
You're in it. You're doing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into where the empire starts building and the entrepreneurial spirit comes out. Before I get into that, I don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
You do it in 2021. You start 2022 with a seven-figure one-year partnership. Going back to 2021, there's going to be people listening to this right now for their businesses that they're starting up or for their personal brands they're trying to grow. Give them one quick trading secret. How do you grow your brand fast like you did in 2021?
I feel like it's so hard because I also like it could be different for anything now. But like because I feel like for me, I was just like, I'm going to stay true to myself and I'm going to do kind of the opposite of what brands want to hear and people want to hear. And I'm going to say what I feel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would get someone in the same place now, but I do feel like I was like, to be honest, I kind of did like the opposite of what someone would do, which is like, how can I get in with these brands and say what they should do? I was saying like, you're doing this wrong. I guess at the time I was.
I think that's great advice though. It's again, do the opposite of what everyone thinks you should do.
Yeah, I guess that's my advice then, because if I had PR at that time when I was starting, they would tell me not to say the things that I was saying then probably because
today,
I was literally like,
today, but not to build.
Yeah.
Right. And the same thing that got you where you are today is the feeling of thinking that you were alone in that room. So it feels like a lot of your foundation was started from doing what people say you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
And what I like referred to as like breaking the blueprint of what everyone tells you should do.
Right.
So I love it.
And I think my other one just for this would be for any career. Like,
yeah.
I am like a literal diehard LinkedIn set because for every job,
yeah,
I got let go from Bravo and then got my job at Tidal when I had no music experience. And I wasn't getting any other interviewer job in music because they're very like much like you need to be within music. I got that through LinkedIn from just like messaging people. Mm-hmm. I am not kidding. I've messaged thousands of people on LinkedIn that half the time people come up to me today. They're like, do you remember you messaged me on LinkedIn? No, because I messaged everyone. If I saw that they had a career I was interested in or just like some sort of career path or went to my college or anything where I was interested, I was like, I would love to pick your brain and go to lunch. Like
I was gonna say, what would the LinkedIn message look like?
So I changed it over time because I'll never forget what someone I remember. I met with a girl at Hearst and she didn't want to talk to me the first time.
Okay.
She said it was the way I messaged her.
Okay.
And the second time I changed it and now I tell people that.
What
so
is that?
The first time I messaged and was just like, hey, I saw you guys are hiring for this role, super interested. She's like, hey, that's actually not my division, but like good luck with everything. I think I was so freaking out that I couldn't find a job at this time. This was after college, so I was looking for a few months. I messaged her again. I was desperate. Mm-hmm. And I literally like wrote a whole thing And I think it was from the heart and kind of just said like, hey, I would love to hear about your career path. It's so interesting to me. And I would love to go to lunch with you or coffee. Like, I'm around whenever. She told me it was, she's like, people love to talk about themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, you made it about her, not you.
I made it about her.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way when I get messages and it's just like, almost more like, help me.
Yeah.
Give me more here, yeah. You know? So I literally, that's never left my mind. And I've changed, I've posted, and I should again, like the messages that I've sent on LinkedIn to people being like, say it like this, because what? Hundreds of people won't answer, but like, even if you get one response, that got me my job at Title. And then look, no one messages. Everyone thinks it's the craziest thing that I message agents on LinkedIn to find someone. And they all ignored me except for one who is still my agent today.
That's unbelievable.
So like, I'm a big LinkedIn girl.
You want it? Go get it.
Yeah.
And maybe do it different than what everyone's doing. Let's get into 2022, 2023. Now you got some steam behind you. You're becoming very popular in the space. You're building a community and you're very involved with the business. You land the seven-figure deal. So you're starting January 1, 2022 with a lot of foreseeable cash inflow. Talk to me about your business planning. How are you building the empire? What does it look like? What are your new financial goals? What are your dreams at this point?
I'm pretty sure 2022, but I can check, was when I also started Remy X Revolve, which was Revolve's first plus size line.
Right.
That went up to a 4X. It wasn't just plus size, extra small to 4X. And that was literally from a video of me being like, in a nice way, Revolve, you could do better. And then like they reached out the next day. So that I did for two seasons also, but like, so that's what I mean.
What's
like
two seasons mean?
Two drops. So yeah. Like a fall and a spring, I'm pretty sure.
And that was all in the year 2022.
Yes. And at that time got Victoria's Secret. I remember I'm pretty sure I got like a 6-month Amazon deal.
Real quick, on the Revolve deal,
yeah.
You get paid. I'm going to guess it's not 7 figures, but it's 6 figures. In deals like that.
It was not, by the way.
It was not 6 figures?
No.
Oh, less than that. Okay, interesting.
I felt like that was more of a brand. Like I learned that during that time that there was some partnerships. It's like for the idea of like, that was like, oh my God, I can make this brand that was never inclusive, more inclusive.
Interesting.
And it wasn't as much about the money for me. And I was like, I'm doing this.
So that you're thinking business-wise, this is going to help my brand and the space I'm trying to make impact.
Yes. That was always number one for me, by the way. It wasn't money. Like I cared so much about the brand, how this can last and like what it'll do for me. And like, I have said no to a lot of huge deals and yes to a lot of smaller deals.
And then you're also becoming an industry leader in size inclusivity with one of the biggest brands that Gen Z and millennials
use. Yeah, so I was doing a lot of like, I would go into their, it wasn't just like doing shoots for them, like with Victoria's Secret, like I would go into their office, they'd fly people in from like their offices from like, I don't know, in Ohio or wherever they are. And I would like literally be like, do this for size inclusivity, do this, talk about it. So like that was a year long, like, job, like I liked it because it felt more like a job to me. Like I was like, oh, like I'm also like going into their office and doing things. So I was doing that. I remember I got like a 6-month Amazon deal. I had a bunch of other smaller brand deals that weren't small, but like, I mean more one-off. So you can have like a 6-month deal, a year deal, a 5-year deal, which I've never had, or you can do like literally like a one-off TikTok or Instagram or whatever and like never work with them again. Okay. So I was doing a bunch of those that I actually had to start saying no to some because it was just so overwhelming that I was like, I mean, like at that time I was like still popping off and like it was a lot. And I still did not have a manager at that time. I had my agents and my attorney helping me. And then also just making more on the side LTK and using like, what is it called? Like affiliate platforms like that. Like I was making a few $1,000s, sometimes from one haul, one video I'd post of posting 5 dresses. If I posted that, I'd make a few $1,000s just for my followers buying through my link.
Through the commission.
Yeah.
And that would be considered affiliate marketing then?
Yes. And that would go like right to me. Like that wasn't through UTA or anything.
Interesting. Okay. So now you're looking at 2022. 2020, less than 65 grand total. 2021, about $1 million. We're just guessing. 2022, how much did we grow, you think, if you had to guess?
I mean, I'm thinking like probably from that, like gross, like without taking taxes, giving to agents and everything, like around 3 million.
Fucking in a 2-year period. That is so cool. I love it. It's amazing. You now have this momentum and you get listed in 2023 is Forbes 30 under 30. Huge.
Yes.
Huge.
That was like definitely top 3 moments for me ever.
Yeah. So you obviously read it, you see it. Did you have any idea at all that it was coming?
No, I like, I definitely went to my team like constantly like, I want this so bad, but there, oh, I hate when people say online that you could pay your way.
I was going to ask you that.
If you can, I don't know about it.
Got it.
I would not have cried and made it such a big deal if I paid my way to get that.
Yeah.
I wanted it. I'm pretty sure you can like, your team, right? You guys can nominate or like,
yeah. We've talked about apply for it.
Right. Okay. So you apply. I was like, I want this so bad, but like, no, you do not pay for it.
Yeah.
And yeah, my team would like give me the application. And then it's just like, think of how many people apply for that. Like,
yeah.
But no, I don't even know if you guys knew before. No. But did you guys know like in advance I got it before I knew?
I found out that morning and was hysterically
crying and freaking out.
Unbelievable. I love it. And then talk to me about the business. Like, how does that impact your business from that point on?
You know, that is a good question. Has it impacted my business? I don't know. Like in my mind,
first thing
like,
on your bio.
Right. And I'm like, what? And I'm almost thinking like maybe if I had, I think the creator space is so interesting that I think if you had that and you had a business, you got that for like being the head of marketing or being, you know, like more in, what would I call that? I don't know. Not a 9-to-5. Yeah. Like had more of a 9-to-5, your own business. Like maybe that would give you more credibility. I'm not saying it didn't for me. Maybe a brand did look at me and was like, oh, we're going to give her a brand deal because of this. But I feel like for the creator space, it's like all about like what that brand is looking at, your following, which I don't believe it is like your, I think it's more your engagement at the time, yeah, or like so many other things. So I don't know the answer to that question. If like the Forbes 30 under 30 title, like, has made brands want to work with me or not.
Did you see from that point of receiving that designation, did you see an increase in brand activity, type of brands, like maybe luxury or rate?
Not that I remember.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. So relatively consistent.
Because I was wondering too at that time, like, is this going to change things? But I felt like the deal flow was basically the same. I kind of felt the same.
Okay.
Thinking back.
Gotcha. 2023, 2024, would you say years are comparative to 2022 or are things staying pretty stagnant? Are they increasing? Is your business changing much?
I would say since I worked at Victoria's Secret the 2 years and then didn't, things are around the same in total from other brands, but I don't have that big, giant one deal because that was kind of what it was.
Gotcha.
Also, need to say Victoria's Secret Pink has a lot of, like when you work with these brands, there's exclusivity and like competitors and people you can't work with. So a lot of the people I was working with before I worked with them no longer would work with me after because it was like their main competitor.
That's
and I still
point.
Was kind of tied to them.
Yeah, that's what's an interesting thing about this space. A lot of the times you pay for what you're delivering as far as videos, but you're also paying for exclusivity.
Yeah,
and
you're losing actually out on like other brands that will not, it's not even like just touch you during your partnership, like actually might not go near you for a while after because like you're still, I still do stuff with Victoria's Secret Pink and Victoria's Secret, and I loved the company as a whole. Were they doing the same in terms of inclusivity, and did they end up actually expanding their sizes that like I did the work with them on? No, they decided not to. So I think for me as a size consultant, we decided that I wasn't going to do that anymore, but I still will work with them on like other things. But that stopped, and that was the same with Revolve. I feel like they, as the world did, I think, and why I said timing was so important, size inclusivity was very big from 2020, which is so sad that it's a trend.
Sure.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But from 2020 to around 2023, things started changing. And I do think that is what changed deals for me.
Okay.
Like, I think that is what started changing when like brands started pulling their plus sizes and stuff. And a lot of my partnerships were about plus size. At the same time, I was gaining more and more weight and becoming a bigger size. So there was less brands on and on for me to work with.
Interesting. Well, I think that's a good transition when we're talking about deals and brands. I mentioned the intro edited by Remy Bader now in 200 stores. Tell me, you know, we've talked about Revolve, Victoria's Secret. What does a partnership like that look like from a business perspective?
So that is the first thing I ever did with my dad. I finally was like, all right, after like I'm now established and I know in me that I did this on my own.
Now,
like, fine, I'll do something
with you. Did you bring your dad in? Did he bring you in?
He brought me in. Okay. Sam's Club is a client of his.
Okay.
And has been. He does like, so like they'll manufacture the jeans and do it, but like for, they'll do private label for people. They have different brands under Sunrise Brands. He's not like the owner of the brand group, but he does. So Sam's Club is one of his clients. And like they said, oh, we were looking at expanding sizes and we would love to do this with Remy. Do you think she'd be interested? So he came to me and asked if I would.
Okay.
This was a full year before that launched. People were still some brands were dropping plus size. Some were still adding. Obviously, some were still adding because they wanted to create this with me. And I was like, I don't know if we should do this together, Dad. Like, and I think he thought it would be a fun thing. And I just was like, anything in terms of a deal for me, like I said, in terms of the inclusivity, if they were allowing me to change something in their brand that was never has never happened before, I don't care about the money. I wanted to do it.
Right.
Not saying that wasn't good money, but I'm saying I was like, yes, I want to do this.
You become an industry leader like you did with Revolve.
Yeah.
Right. So that makes sense. So tell me a little bit about the deal. Like, do you get percentage of like what you sell? How do you go from 100 stores to 200 stores? Like, give me some of the moving parts.
There's definitely some I still don't under, any deal I do, I bring in UTA management, whatever, like you have to. This was a little different just because it was with my dad, but it ended up getting a little complicated trying to do it without. And like, I love and trust my team and whatever that we ended up bringing them in.
Got it.
So I, you know, they took 10% of it. They structured the whole deal because the deal was through my dad's company that he works at, not Sam's Club. And they like, but it was based on like all the marketing and things like that was like, I think we had two contracts. I think one with Sam's Club based on what my deliverables were. And then there was one with Sunrise. I think there was both. There was like a payment, almost like a salary. What do you call it? I mean, like a payment for doing it. Sure. And then there was also, I am no longer doing it now.
Yeah.
I've handed it off to Hunter McGrady to start to keep doing it, but I'm still making commission on what's being sold. Like, I'm still getting that commission.
Correct.
So there's both.
Yeah. So you're getting like a performance-based commission on what's sold, handed it off to Hunter McGrady. I'm just curious from like passing the torch in general is kind of a hard thing to do. Was that a hard thing for you to do?
I chose to because I've talked about this publicly too, but me and my dad were just not getting along. I think I will say forever, I will never do business with family again. And that's just for me. Yeah. Some people do and it works well. I think it was just affecting our relationship in a not good way where I wanted to work on that relationship outside of work. We thought it would be fun. We had different ideas for it. He didn't realize how important some of the pieces of inclusivity were to me, where my dad very much understood, but in it, he's very old school. Like, he's been in the garment center for 40 years and like things that were important to him weren't as important to me. And I just was like, and even when I went to Hunter and said I would look, cause I had, you know, I was like, who would be good for this? They let me like, I also said like, listen, I'm going to like make sure it's a great person to bring in. And she is obviously cares about inclusivity and is great. She was the first plus size Sports Illustrated model. And I said, listen, this has nothing to do with my dad. It's me and my dad. You will love him. He's amazing to work with. That's kind of who Sam's would fly in and do the meetings with them. But you're working a lot actually kind of with Sunrise too.
Okay.
She kind of took it over and did that with them and now works with my dad. And like, it's great. I'm out of it now.
Yeah.
But it did due to it doing so well, actually in club more than online. Usually I've done these partnerships. It's online.
Mm-hmm.
It gets very complicated once there's a membership in the way, because even though you could buy it online with a membership, without the membership and there's an upcharge, people were very confused. It actually did better in store and in club that they raised it to 200 stores, but that's for now. It's in 200 clubs for Hunter.
Okay, cool. I mean, it's cool to learn about some learning lessons on the side of like maybe when you're doing business with family, you know, just cross your T's, dot your I's, maybe think through it a little
better
bit.
Better not for
and
me.
Then also I think just the expansion, partnering with big companies can make a huge difference. If you guys are in a Sam's Club, definitely see if you could check it out. Now, going from like deal flow to just back to your brand is you. And with that has come this like massive trajectory from zero. You're at the pinnacle, you're at the height. Through the pinnacle, when all these things happen, there's always going to be pullback and there's going to be massive successes. It's just the nature of life. You go through the Sadie bariatric surgery, do something positive for yourself, and then you start to notice that there might be a ripple effect with your brand, which is now you. When you look back at some of the noise that was created or maybe even the business impact, is there anything that maybe you would have done differently knowing what you know now?
Yeah. I can't say I would do anything differently because I had to do what I needed to do for my health at that point.
Yeah.
I was like really, really in a bad place in terms of my health, pain, so many things.
Yeah.
And I actually remember the day I made the decision in my bed alone and was like, this might affect my career in a huge way. Hmm. Like if I am not this size anymore. And then I was like, really told myself, I'm like, no, because I'm more than that. I'm not just my body in every way. And from everything that I learned through this whole process, through the last, for all the years. And I was so unhappy. And I was like, if I took my followers away and all these people, what would I do? And I've tried everything in the book at that point, my whole life, because weight was always a struggle for me. But at that point, yes, it was it was for health reasons. And sure. No, I don't think I would have changed anything. I had to do it for me. And has it changed my career completely? Mm-hmm. I think that like I'm like still in the process of rebranding myself. I am the same person. Mm-hmm. I stand by that. I have the same beliefs. I still believe in size inclusivity, even though I'm in size 8-10 right now. And I was an 18-20 before that.
Yeah.
I've also been a 14-16. I've also been a 10-12. I've fluctuated my whole life. People have only seen me online for 5 years, but I had to do what I needed to do for me. And like, although I'm frustrated, I get frustrated sometimes in terms of how it's affected my career and how I have to do things differently and come up with new things. But I talk to my team about all the time, every creator needs to, at some point, especially 5 years later, rebrand themselves or make changes. And it is what it is. I had to do what I needed to do for me and my health. And I could not share that journey at the time because I was so sick. And like, I can't go back and change any. I just can't.
When you think about, so obviously you pivoted and you said your brand is changing and every creator kind of has to change. Well, how would you define Remy Bader's business brand today?
Well, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Like, what do you, like if someone were to like ask you like what you see me as like a brand, like what do you think?
I like it. I mean, I know you said you had to pivot. I still see like a main pillar of your brand, size inclusivity, without a doubt. And I see you as like a socialite. You're in the scene. You spread your messages left, right, and center. And you make, I think, positive impact through your authenticity, right? Whether it's your videos, like I saw one today when I was researching for this, you're single at 6 a.m. eating McDonald's. Yeah. Like you're showing the reality behind what majority of us are doing in New York City, right. But not showing because we're embarrassed to do so.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like what I would brand your things. Like doing it, maybe not the way everyone's telling you you should do it, but doing it your way. And I think that's how a majority of people live. So it's like massively relatable.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. And I do think that's when going back to it, it's like, I feel I'm relatable. I feel like I'm authentic. I feel like I was quieter for a while because I was letting all the noise get to me and other people. And like more lately, I'm just like, no, I want to go back to saying how I feel. And because I haven't changed I've changed in ways because I was 25 when I started and now I'm 30. So you should change or that would be a little weird. But I think that in terms of like, I'm like, wait, I still care as much about the size inclusivity, even though my size has changed. I felt it and I feel the frustration of other people more and more right now. They're taking away plus size from every store, every online retailer. I feel that frustration still with only a year ago, my body changed. So like, I still understand the frustration, even though my body's different. I don't know. I feel like I have all the same feelings and I'm just going to keep sharing those frustrations / thoughts and my opinions, but it might just be look different to people because I'm in a different body. Do I think that's fair? No, but I understand.
Yeah. And I think you've been an industry leader in the things that you've wanted to do since day one. Like what we talked about with the Revolve collection, you were the first one to do that.
Yeah.
Right. And you went through this surgery and it's the first time that I had seen in one of the public eye have to acknowledge private surgery. Right.
Yeah.
And in 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, maybe 10 years, whatever time period is, we might be looking back saying the exact same thing. There she was again. She was the industry leader in doing it and had to hear noise from it. But like, that's who you are. And that's what you've always been is you. And that's why you're in this position today. So that I find interesting. One thing I wanted to ask about is because the worlds of professional, financial, and personal, I always find in some way, shape, or form do collide. We talked about in 2021, you go from zero to making seven figures, community loving, supporting you, but that wasn't filling you up. Like that actually, you had to work on your mental health.
Yeah.
I'm curious if like that positivity didn't create positivity for you and your mental health. When negativity came your way from the surgery, did that also not have an impact on you?
It affected me 100%. I definitely get affected by the negativity. I'm a sensitive person.
Yeah.
Have I gotten thicker skin through the year from this? 100%. I'm never going to win over those people that just are not going to agree with me and don't like my journey and my life. And there's nothing I could do about that. And I just have to keep reminding myself that. But like, did I struggle a lot this year when I like felt better health-wise and, you know, was working on my mental health at the same times in terms of like being able to date again after like a pretty, like a not great relationship and like all of these things. Like, so I feel like I was improving in so many ways.
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, the internet definitely ate me alive a little bit, and it's affected my mental health a lot for the past 6 months, I would say. And I'm just getting out of that now.
As someone who's a lifestyle creator, when it comes to sharing things in your life, has this created new boundaries for you for what you will and won't share?
100%. I believe I deserve, and all creators deserve, boundaries, but it also makes me, it's a weird thing. It makes me miss sharing like I did in the beginning.
Interesting.
But it also makes me remind myself I do not owe everyone every little bit of my health journey.
Yeah.
I will share what I want because I'm an open person, but like, it's totally gave me boundaries that I'm like, I know I'm allowed to have.
I love it. I love it. Well, I could talk to you for hours, but we have to get wrapping up here, but I can't wrap up with talking about Fangirl. Talk to me a little bit about this. For anyone that doesn't know, this product is on Amazon.
I've shoved it in your face a few times.
It's literally been on my Instagram several times because I use it. Tell people about when you started it, why, and where they can find it.
Okay. Fangirl started literally because I would talk to my followers about how I'm just like sweaty. And like, it was a struggle for me forever. No matter what size I've been, I've always been a sweaty girl. And I started buying fans to take to red carpet events and all these things from Amazon, random fans, when fans weren't a thing. Now you walk around and see people having fans. And I was like, I don't care if it's embarrassing. Like, I am dripping sweat. I'm going to bring this with me everywhere. So people started tagging me on Instagram being like, hashtag Remy made me do it, and buying these other fans. And I'm like, why am I not making my own? I'm literally making like 1 cent on Amazon from like linking these other fans that were like $10. So it kind of started almost as a joke slash like, oh, this will be more of a merch thing for my followers. And then I found a manufacturer, made these fans. I was like, how can I make it different than what's in the market right now? Mm-hmm. There was no fan out there with a ring light attached to it. So it's a fan and ring light 2-in-1 that clips on your phone, clips on your computer. You could use it in Zoom meetings. You could use it out wherever. It clips on anything. And it actually started like making sales and doing well. This was my first real summer with it because I started last September. And like, I think I really missed, it came out late and I really missed that summer. But I think I learned so much from this summer where I think I sold like 10,000 on Amazon this summer.
10,000 units?
10,000 units.
Wow, because those things I saw, they're going this morning, $25 a piece.
Yes. And so I sold like 10,000. But I think it's important to know I've learned a lot for anyone that wants to start their own business. I'm learning so much right now because I've never done this in all of the years of even me. All the stuff we just talked about, this is so different. Like, I'm doing this, putting in my own money to this.
How much did you have to put in to start a company like this?
I think I put in like, for the first, probably like total, like maybe like 80,000, okay, maybe 90,000.
Have you got most of that back at this point?
I've gotten it back, awesome. But am I making a big profit? Yeah. No. Yeah. And I think people need to know that because like, especially now I understand when people are asking for gifting or I want a fan this, I'm like, every single fan
is a loss. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. And like, this still is my own money. I do it myself. I don't have, my manager helps me like with some of the things and partnerships. Like I started doing a little more, but now that I know it was successful, I have a lot more ideas. I want to make it bigger. I'm excited about it, but like, this is just the beginning and I just wanted to prove that it could do super well and it's selling.
I love it. That is awesome. It's selling. You've made your money back. 10,000 units. When I was at US Open, they were at every single suite, whether you were there or not. When I was at Surf Lodge in the Hamptons, they were there.
Yep.
You're killing it. So you're the CEO of your own brand. You're the CEO of Fangirl. You're doing all types of partnerships. The last question I got before you get your trading secret, what's next? Like, what are your dreams? Do you have a goal as to how much you want to make per year? Do you have a dream position that you want to be in? Like, when you look in the future as a CEO of your companies, what do the dreams look like from here on out?
Yeah, I think that, like I said, since I'm just getting out of my funk of all of the past year, I'm just one happy that I'm in a better place. And I'm like, I also am asking myself the question of what's next. I have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of exciting things. I'm like, I feel like I like wake up excited because I'm like, this is a new time for me. But like, do I know what's going to happen with them? No. And I just talked to my manager about this. And I was like, he's like, but we don't need to know the exact thing. You're doing enough. And like, I'm working every day and doing things and have these ideas and working on Fangirl and working on these partnerships. Like it'll happen. Just like I'm using this time right now as it was 5 years ago. Mm. Like I'm starting fresh in my brain. I'm like, I don't believe I'm a different Remy in many ways, but I guess in some ways I am. And I have to kind of just like, let's take that stuff that I used to do and what people loved me for. But I'm 30 now, so I'm going to spin it a little bit, but just be the Remy I am, kind of see what happens. I don't know. One thing I do know is I want to grow Fangirl, and I would love for that to get bigger and bigger. And I am really just kind of like, I don't know, seeing what's, I would like to know what's next too, but I'm gonna put a little less pressure on myself for once in my life.
I love it. Sometimes I think in life, you got your business too, you got to crawl through what feels like hell to then eventually break through.
Yeah.
And Breakthrough Bader is here. It's
coming. I love that.
Walk in the swimsuit, the fashion show. I saw your dad watching that. That was awesome. Momentum's at your back. Breakthrough Bader, year 5. I think it's really cool, from 0 to millions and more to come. So I appreciate you being on Trading Secrets. Before you leave, you've traded a lot of secrets, but we got to get your marquee trading secret. It could be a quote you live by. It could be financial advice, personal advice, professional advice, just a trading secret that's unique to you. What can you leave us with?
This might be like very cliche, but like, I do believe everything happens for a reason, because I think that like you said, from career stuff to, I feel like every time I've been like at rock bottom, which I could say probably has happened 2 or 3 times for me, I have managed to find something great from that. And I think that you need to remember that for anyone else that's at rock bottom, like you can turn it into something positive.
Mm, I like it. My trading secret I learned from you is do it differently and do it by you, right? Yeah. Whether it's messaging people on LinkedIn, whether it's seeing your differences in a crowd and making it your authenticity, or it's, you know, having surgery because you need it for your health and you don't care about the other noise that comes with it. Do it and do it by you. And I think that's my trading secret. So Remy, I appreciate being on Trading Secrets.
Thank
Where can
you for
everyone have
me.
Everything you got going on?
Remy Bader, my name on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat.
Sweet.
That's where you can find me.
I love it.
And you can get Fangirl at Amazon and Revolve.
Fangirl, Amazon, and Revolve. Remy, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets.
You.
Ding! We are ringing in the closing bell with the one, the only, the sad, curious Canadian. You guys heard him in the intro. He's still overcoming that loss to the Toronto Blue Jays. But David, we got a lot to talk about in this recap, Remy Bader included. What are you thinking?
We're turning the page on the Blue Jays, like I said in the intro. Here we are, Remy Bader. Look at this. Energy's peaking. I got to match her energy. She was great. She was relatable. All the things as advertised, to see her in this kind of format, to see her in this kind of scene, it was really, really great, Jason, and you could tell she's relatable by a couple things, and two things I want to point out. One, very open and honest about getting fired from her first two jobs. I don't know a lot of people who have been successful who will openly talk about their failures, and not even their failures, just part of their story. Nobody likes to admit getting fired, flat out fired. She said that she got fired because she wasn't a good assistant, and perspective has let her realize that she wasn't a good assistant. I loved that. And then I love just her openness to talk about money, because money doesn't make her. And I think that when money doesn't make someone's DNA, they're so much more willing to talk about it, because it's a fraction of their story, a fraction of who they are. And that really shined through in this episode with Remy.
I mean, that really was cool what you said, even in the intro, about how like the timeline, we started from day one to where she is today, and like really dove into it. And I think exactly what you said is bang on. It's so cool to see. I just love the vulnerability and like kind of the rock bottom moments to where she is now and where she was, and even the challenges she's gone through in the last couple of years. Like, I just love her honesty. I love the honesty. And there's a lot to learn from Remy Bader. And I think that's a good question for you. It's like, of all the things that we talked about, the money, the Victoria's Secrets contract, the roller coaster, the highs, the lows, what was most surprising to you?
Well, I don't know about surprising necessarily, but some things that kind of one thing that really stuck out that I guess you could say is surprising was her train of success. And really, when you think about it, a lot of people in your guys' space, the train of success is to do the opposite of what you're supposed to do. And it was so interesting to kind of see how she came up in the PR world. And now that she's kind of gotten more of a following and been more successful, and I feel like she's tied to a few more contracts, she's kind of leaning not more back into that, but it's just become a part of her life because of maybe, you know, a little bit of security and insurances that she has to have on things. But she literally became relatable and started posting and getting a following attraction because she was talking about things that the PR, her PR trained herself would say, don't talk about that. Don't be vulnerable. Don't talk about binge eating. Don't talk about your weight. Don't talk about being in a bad place. Don't talk about these things. Don't call out these brands that they could do better, Revolve, etc. But it's all led to her and who she is and what she is. So I just thought that kind of like going against the grain with traditional like trained PR advice was fascinating and kind of is her in a nutshell.
It kind of feels like that model, like the trading secret that made, I mean, there's a lot of things that made Remy what she is today. There's a lot of things. At the core, it's just who she is as a person. However, I do think that ideology of like, just do it your way, and most people at first probably won't love it, but it's going to catch on. It feels like that's like the new thing. Like every angle, whether it's like politics or someone on social media or entertainment that we're watching, I feel like everything I'm seeing right now, it's just like it's doing things differently to see what works. And it feels like that's like now the norm.
Well, you know what's so interesting about that is I agree, but I also look at the perspective from like, she mentioned it. She's like, in 2020, when she started posting, influencers were perfectly curated content on Instagram. And that was like the image of an influencer. And now you're seeing the pendulum swing to all of these successful influencers are now these really relatable. And I think TikTok has helped provide the platform to be a little more relatable, to be a little more off the cuff, to not have such curated content. I wonder at what point when like being relatable and going against the grain starts to kind of like be the norm and it starts swinging back to like people craving this perfectly curated content. Is there a world for both? Does the pendulum swing? Do trends come, you know, back around? It's going to be interesting when everyone's just kind of laying it all out there and being raw and authentic and people kind of like, it becomes the majority that people want to start living in a little bit of fantasy world with some more curated content. Because I even see, like, I actually went on an Instagram deleting binge the other day, just unfollowing accounts that I've followed forever. And a lot of these people that I have followed are people that I followed for 5+ years that are perfectly content, like curators that have perfect content. And it's like, you know, they've kind of like just fallen off, whether they don't show up on my page anymore or I don't click on their stories anymore. But it's more these relatable people that I keep finding myself with.
What made you actually unfollow those people? Was it because you saw their content or you're just like, wait, why am I following them?
Yeah, I just every so often I'm on a long bus ride on the hockey trip and I'm, you know, doing some doom scrolling and I'm just clicking mindlessly on stories and I'm like, there's not this many people that I care about to just like really like consume their content. And I'm like clicking and clicking. I'm like, how is there so many people? And then I start consciously like clicking and I'd be like, do I want these updates? Do I want to see what this person's doing? Is this benefiting me in my life? And if it's no, it's no. And it's no fault to anybody. It's not like I dislike anybody. But I mean, there's people from Geneseo, Jay. We graduated. I graduated in 2012. It's 13 years ago. There's people that I barely even associated with in college that you're friends with because your friends are friends or your friend's dating her friend and whatever. And it's like, no offense to those people, but if I won't pick up the phone and text them, I'm not going to follow them.
That's interesting. I also find, like I could tell you as a social media creator, what we're seeing with our content is it's actually not going to our followers anymore. Mm-hmm. And if it goes, like, it's like the part of like the strategy is like, create something that actually won't go to your followers because you need it to go to like the larger audiences. And that's allowing us to grow social media. I'm going to go back to Remy in a second. I do want to get your take on this. I got an argument with my brother recently. He said, there will be a moment in time where we look back at social media the way that we now look back at cigarettes. And we will say, that social media is the cigarettes of our generation. Do you agree or disagree?
I 100% agree. I don't think to the extent necessarily, but I think the disdain towards it a little bit. I also think of this. I think when I'm on my phone around Carter and I'm like, oh no, I can't because Carter is going to see me on my phone and da-da-da. Everything our parents ever did, we tried to not do. Everything our parents did was uncool, whether it was smoke cigarettes, whether it was do funny, like the way that they used to dance, like in their disco dances, whether it was always like cringe. And I think that Carter is going to grow up and see me on my phone all the time and see how we, us millennials and Gen X's and Gen Z's, use social media. And I think that they're going to grow up and be like, no, gross, ew. Like, I just think that it's going to change in that retrospect. That's my two cents.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with my brother. I think there's a lot of things that are wrong with social media. I think there's a lot of negativity with social media, of course. And I think, like, the idea of the algorithm can get a little intrusive because it has too much information to then maybe feed us things that actually we don't want to see, but we continue to watch. But it's like really doing negative harm. And I think the impact of social media on children is a whole different story. But like, I think there should be massive regulation around that because that's just a whole different topic. That's, to me, has a ton of negativity. But if we just talk about adults only, I also think there's a ton of positivity with social media. I think there's stories like Remy. We can relate to people and build communities. There's education that we can get. There's a lot of people held accountable via transparency of things that weren't in the past. And that's why I disagreed with this comment, because I don't think social media is maybe the best for our mental health. And I can understand why you might like refer to it as cigarettes, but I also do think there's a lot of positives that come from it. So that's a whole topic that we can go down. I think to your point about Carter, though, I actually don't think we're going to have phones that much longer. Like, when I'm seeing how AI is changing, the speed at what's it changing, like, I don't even think we're going to have apps that much longer. Like, I think in 10 years from now, like, the idea of like an application, like going to your phone and like having like this is crazy, I have 7 pages of apps, it's not going to exist. You're just going to tell AI to do what you want it to do, and that's what it's going to do. And my question to you, David, is, did you use AI in the last week?
So I dabbled in the AI a little bit. I kind of went a little shortcut route because I just wanted to see it. I threw a couple things in there. But I do agree with you now, seeing the power of AI through ChatGPT and asking it questions like I would with Google. You really see that the need for a lot of these apps are going to be obsolete. One thing I was like, I said, I'm 195 pounds. I haven't worked out in 6 months. I want to make sure that I like get through the holidays without getting to 200 pounds. What are some daily like things I need to focus on in a weight routine? And it spit out a couple things for me. Very organized, like you said. You know, make sure that you're getting X amount of steps in. You know, try fasting in these windows. Making sure that you're staying away from these types of foods. Blah blah blah. And then I threw a little wrinkle in there, and I said, I'm craving fast food. What are some good deals for fast food spots in Rochester, New York? And it spit out a couple things for me. It spit out a couple things that, Dave's Hot Chicken was doing free tenders on Thursday through the app, and a new Popeyes location was doing buy one, get one free. So I was like, this is crazy that it has all this information, hypersensitive, hyper-localized, and kind of spit out a bunch of different deals that were going on. So it is definitely something that can be, it's definitely a more, I think, like personalized, formatted, direct information of like a Google, like we were talking about last week.
Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do with AI that's going to impact you more, which is going to cause you to use it more. Because I think I said this on News Nation yesterday, in general. Okay, so there's a study that just came out that Gen Z is, they use AI taking apps. So during meetings, they'll put it on and then it'll summarize it for them. They're saying that those that are adopting AI on average are making about $20,000 per year more than those who aren't. So I think that's one thing. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to start using it for hockey.
Okay.
I want you to be like, I have 45 minutes of ice time. This is my team. I need another drill. There's 2 minutes and 40 seconds left. This is the team we're playing. This is the score. At what point does it make sense, the most probability to pull my goalie?
I like it.
Hey, I'm on the power play. We're 0-4. What is something? Like, I want you to start using it for your research. The other teams, tell me the top three teams. Tell me the top three players of the 2025 Long Island Gauls roster, whatever it might be. Like, I want to use it. That's your challenge.
Interesting.
All right. Now let's bring it back. We went to AI. Yeah. Let's go back. Let's wrap this up. Remy Bader, you heard the $1 million, Victoria's Secrets. I also think, okay, going back to the conversation, you talked about like the whole like, you know, the social media thing is crazy. But like, I think what's interesting with Remy is obviously we talked a little bit about it, but she had the surgery that I discussed. And she's, you know, she's lost a lot of weight from the surgery and has also gotten, you know, negative response to that. Of course, positive, but also negative response to that. And like, that's, I think it's just another example of like what you were talking about. It's like, okay, new things are in, right? We see Ozempic's in and new things are in for people that want to make these changes. And it's almost like, again, while she's receiving like negativity for it, I told her when I talked to her like offline, I'm like, again, though, Remy, you're breaking the mold because you do what you want, what's best for you, and you are the secret sauce. So just keep doing what's best for you. Keep spreading your message. Keep sharing why. And what do you know? People are going to continue to see what you're doing. And it seems like you're always breaking the ice for what's next.
Yeah. And like you said before, it's when they're not talking about you that you need to get worried. People are still talking about her. Every time you reach some level of success, you're going to have haters. But I do have on my notes here, when you guys talked about that, she obviously said the negativity from the surgery does impact her a lot. It kind of goes with like the pendulum of like what I was talking about before, like being relatable and then being like perfect in kind of what we consider influencers. But when you comment on an influencer whose bread and butter is like being relatable and being vulnerable and showcasing everything, you talked about creating boundaries as a creator. Is it a little bit of a slippery slope sometimes with that when you get used to and almost create your fame? I wouldn't even say fame, but like your following through like sharing all these informations and then like something happening and trying to create boundaries with your followings where, like she says, she goes, I have the right not to share everything when it comes to my health, which she absolutely does. I'm supporting her in that. But also, so many people out there would be like, no, I followed you because you shared everything, because you were vulnerable when you were binge eating and this and that. And that's how I really connected with you. So now I don't feel connected. This isn't fair. Like, you've changed. Like, talk to me a little bit about the slippery slope with that in the world that you guys live in. And I mean, you've experienced it a lot yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you owe no one anything. Like, in this world, if you don't create boundaries, like, you don't owe any, like, no one really knows Remy Bader, right? We get to know what we see from Remy. No one knows me. No one knows my core. No one knows the things I'm thinking when we turn this off and the things I'm undergoing, right? But you as a creator get the option to choose what you do decide to share. And I do agree with you that there are some circumstances that, like, it's hard to say like a blanket statement that applies to everybody, right? But I get to choose what I decide to share. And there is a lot that I would be extremely rewarded for if I shared a lot. And I don't, because you then have to connect with your own integrity, your own character, the things that protect your peace. And you then get to decide.
That's a very good, very good point. I guess I never really thought about it that way. Because I was going to come at it with a place of like, well, do you get to decide? Because you pouring it all out there in the first place, kind of like, it's like the hook and lat, it's like the bait and switch. It's like, I'm going to lure you in, and then I have this following, and then once I have this following, I start making money, and I have to get a little more private because I don't have so many people that are following me. It's like, oh my gosh, should I just kind of back myself into a corner? But it's just a really interesting career and way of making a living and providing for yourself and also like needing to stay sane. Like, how many more people have like given Justin Bieber a little bit of break now that he's streaming on Twitch 24/7 in his new little factory, and there's constant nonstop clips coming out of like him actually having genuine conversation about why he is the way he is now?
But the thing is like the reason that Justin Bieber is who he is now is because he doesn't give a fuck what people think.
Correct.
right? Like his value is not built on in this moment, the world hates me. And I think anyone who's successfully, I mean, I obviously like I've become like a full on Swiftie now, but like think about it, man, for like 6 years, the world, like literally everyone was against her. Like everyone in Hollywood, the Kardashians, when they were the hot Kanye West, when he was like set, like the guy, like she was like the hate. Now she's the number one artist in the world. I think anyone who achieves anything, no matter what it is, sports, entertainment, like the only way to continue to be the best of the best is that you just don't care. You are true to you. Paris Hilton, like, is known for like, she said, like, I will never read one comment one person says about me because I don't like, I'm not going to pay attention to it.
It's amazing.
You know? I mean, amazing. At the same time, like Lindsay Lohan was the one in the comments, like reacting to people, like going off the deep end. And it took her a lot of growth to like come back. So I do think the people that have done the most and have continued to like work on themselves to be the most, like a Justin Bieber, I think they've done a really good job at saying like, hey, maybe that hurts my feelings, but those people don't know me. It doesn't mean anything. I don't care if the world hates me right now because the truth always surfaces. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a minute. Sometimes it takes a lifetime, but like the truth always surfaces.
And to your point, it takes a lifetime. We are still in the baby stages of what we're talking about in the realm of like life. Like we are still in the baby stages of really being able to see how this long-term affects people in this industry. And when you talk about these influencers who are so successful because they took the risk of sharing every aspect of their life and having this following, we don't know how that affects them in 10 years because it hasn't been around for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Are they able to find partners? Are they able to have kids and families and protect themselves from those families? I mean, we're seeing it with the Kardashians, I guess, because, you know, but they were more like the TV. But I'm talking like the influencers, the Remy Baders, the TikTokers who really came to emerge from COVID. Like we're only 5 years in from the TikTok boom. 5 years. That is nothing on the life scale of how this is going to really long-term impact some people. So who knows? Maybe Cardell, you know, and your future kids and my future kids or my current kids will be telling us when they're 25, 30 years old, hey, did you know this person? We did a case study on them in our class, but they probably won't even go to class because it's the future and it freaks me out. Let's stop talking about it.
Let's stop talking about it. It's a wild, wild recap. There's so much to dissect, so much to know. When you say like 10, 20, 30 years, I'm like, TikTok won't be around, but think about Facebook, man. It started before like 25, 20, I remember. 2004 or 5, I didn't mind. Yeah. 2005 or something. 30. My high school girlfriend made my Facebook page.
Yeah, 20 years, man. 20 years.
Crazy. All right, this is a wild recap. 20 years. This recap is 20 minutes, but most importantly, Remy, you can definitely hear this loud and clear from David and I. We are fans of you. Keep doing what you're doing. We're proud of you, and you're an inspiration to both of us. So keep kicking ass, Remy Bader. Thank you all for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets, one you couldn't afford to miss. Bringing that money.
FinQuest Social Casino. The presents are open and you're over the in-laws. It's a perfect time to grab your phone and play SpinQuest.com with live dealer blackjack, craps, and a ton of slots. And here's a great deal for the holiday, a $30 coin pack for $10. And if you're hearing this ad, you can play right now on SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.